Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 9. Sue, I don't know if you looked at the scripture we were studying tonight or if you just picked out, if the Holy Spirit just had you to pick out that song, but the scripture you read is right where we are, where Jesus was asking that question, whom do you say that I am? Whom do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? But you remember when we were in Luke a couple weeks ago, we talked about the event in life of Jesus and the disciples where he took two little fish and five of little loaves, a little lunch that a lad brought, and fed 5,000 men plus the women and the children that were there. I mentioned then when we started that study that Jesus had withdrawn from Galilee to the surrounding areas, and that there were five reasons for him doing that. He wanted to get out of the territory of Herod Antipas, the Herod that had killed John the Baptist, who wanted to kill Jesus. And so Jesus withdrew just to get out of the territory that Herod ruled. He wanted to get some time away from the crowds. They were becoming very fanatical, both those that were for him and against him. Those that were for him wanted him to go ahead and set up his kingdom. They thought he was the Messiah. He had come back to set up his earthly kingdom, and they were pressing him to become the king. Of course, those that were against him were looking for every opportunity to trap him, to find something that he'd said against the Jewish law so that they could take him to the Pharisees and the religious leaders and accuse him and try to get them to put him to death. And the Jewish leaders were after him as well. I mean, they were the ones that, for the most part, were trying to trap him in his words and find some another instance where he did not respect the law in the proper way, or the Sabbath in the proper way, or the temple in the proper way. He wanted to rest, but most of all, he wanted to have some time with his disciples in his instruction of them. It was about the event we looked at last week, the feeding of the 5,000, was about 12 months before the crucifixion. And we're going to start in Luke 8, chapter 9, verse 18 tonight. About 5 or 6 months have passed, at least in Luke's record of the history, since the feeding of the 5,000 and what we're going to look at tonight. But he had come to the region of Caesarea Philippi. It was ruled by Herod Philip, his territory. And so it was still away from the other Herod and the Pharisees. And it was an isolated spot. In fact, it was in the mountains, and this was summertime, so the mountains probably gave some relief from the summer heat. And I don't know if you noticed it or not, and I don't know how many of you remember, that big fan that's sitting in the back there, that was our air conditioning here for a long, long time. We didn't have any air conditioners at all. Some of you can remember that. And so we bought that big fan back there, and we set it right here in front. It oscillates. It goes just like this, back and forth, and blows. Back then, it only blew hot air. Don't say anything about the hot air coming from the front, okay? But anyhow, Jesus was up in the mountains, and so again, gave him some relief from the heat of the summer, and he was spending a lot of time alone with his disciples, instructing them, trying to get them to understand who he was and why he had come. They were Jews. They were expecting the Messiah. Again, the Messiah in the Jewish mind had a nationalistic definition. They were looking for him to come back, sit on the throne of David, reestablish Jewish rule on the earth. And even the disciples had that in their background. And if Jesus, you know, again, it was 6 months before he was going to be crucified. He was going to spend a little time on earth after the crucifixion, but then go to heaven. And then it was going to be up to his followers, the disciples, to carry the gospel and the message of the Messiah into the world. And Jesus did not, he wanted them to understand that, yes, one day he was going to come back and set up his earthly kingdom, but it wasn't the day that he was in. That he was going to suffer. In fact, we're going to talk about it tonight, what he told the disciples, why he had come. It was for our redemption. It was to pay the price for our sin. So look at verse 18 tonight. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, Now, let me just stop there for just a second. He was alone praying. Both Matthew and Mark mention the same story. But Luke is the only one that mentions that Jesus was praying. I think he was praying for the disciples. And by the way, Luke, above all the other gospel writers, mention more often about Jesus spending time in prayer. I mean, Luke wanted his readers to know that Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer. Whenever I think about that, here's my thought. If the Son of God needed to spend time in prayer, how much more do we? How do we think that we can get by without prayer in our life on a daily basis if the Son of God daily went to his Father in prayer? And again, he's our example. He's our example in prayer. So when he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. So they were close. And he asked them, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" And again, this was an important time for Christ. He knew the end was coming. He knew that crucifixion was on the horizon. The disciples needed to understand, his person and his mission. And so he asked the question to get the conversation started. Now, he said, "Who do other people say that I am?" And they came back in verse 19. They answering said, "John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again." And so that's what other people were saying. The Herod, in a past that beheaded John, when he heard what Jesus was doing, he asked the question, "Is this John resurrected from the dead?" I mean, he thought that's who Jesus was. Others knew from the scripture that Elijah was going to have to come back before the Messiah came. And so when they heard what Jesus was doing, they said, "Well, maybe this is Elijah that was come." Of course, Elijah wasn't. What was that, George? I heard something crash. All right, I just want to make sure nothing's falling apart. But anyhow, Jesus said we'll talk about it next week, when he came back from the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples asked him about Elijah coming, and he told them Elijah's already come in the form of John the Baptist. From the standpoint, he was the forerunner of Christ. But other people thought he was one of the other prophets of old that had come back to life. And so the disciples just repeated what they answered the question that Jesus asked, "Whom do men say that I am?" But the real question that Jesus wanted to ask is in verse 20. He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Peter answering said, "The Christ of God." And again, it wasn't so important what other people said. What was important to Christ, again, as he was teaching his disciples, as he was getting them ready to carry the message, his mission into the world, he had been teaching them, he had been praying for them, and so you just ask him straight out, "Well, whom do you say that I am?" Because that's what was important to him. That's what he was trying to get across. I mean, if their thinking about who he was wasn't right, then they weren't going to carry the right message into the world. And so he had to get their thinking about him right. They had to understand truly who he was and why he had come. And so Peter, as he did on several occasions, answered for the group. And when it says there, Peter answering, that word answering includes the concept of answering right away. Peter didn't have to think about it. There wasn't a long pause after the question. It was an immediate response when he said, "The Christ of God, the Messiah of God." Mark reads, "Thou art the Christ." Matthew reads, Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so, again, he had asked all the disciples, but Peter, the spokesman for the group, and we see that on several occasions, answered the question for all. But I don't think even Peter at that point understood the full, didn't comprehend fully the kind of Messiah that Christ was going to be in the near future. Yes, I mean, one day he was going to come back, and he was going to sit on the throne of David, and he was going to rule the earth. But this was not the time. And so when Peter confessed it, now, here's what Jesus said, verse 21, and he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing. So he told his disciples, don't tell anybody that I'm the Messiah. Don't share the answer. If you all agree with Peter, don't tell anybody that, because again, he did not want him going out and presenting a Messiah that was going to sit on a throne and rule the earth. In fact, he's going to tell them in the next few verses what was going to happen to him, what was going to happen, the kind of Messiah he was going to be at this point in time. If they had gone out and preached a nationalistic Messiah, they would have been carrying the wrong message. They would not have been carrying the message that Jesus wanted them to carry. And stop and think about it. He had never called himself Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, before the crowds. Now, he did use that term when he was talking to the woman at the well in Samaria, but that was a private conversation between he and that woman. Every time, and never in a crowd, did he refer to him as himself as a Messiah. He called himself the Son of Man often in the book of Luke, as he does here. Because again, he did not want the people to go back to what they had been taught all their life. He did not want them to think of him as that kind of Messiah, the one that was going to come. And that's what the Jews were looking for. Some of them are still looking for a Messiah like that. To come back and overthrow the Romans and set up the rule. And so he said, don't tell anybody. Now, that might seem strange because we're commanded to tell everybody. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. But he told his disciples, don't tell anybody. And then notice what he says in verse 22, saying, and he, so this is said, this is why I don't want you to tell anybody, saying, the Son of Man, talking about himself, must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. So don't go out and preach about a Messiah that's going to sit on the throne. Let me tell you what kind of Messiah I'm going to be. Let me tell you what the anointed one, the one sent from God, what must happen. And that word must means it speaks to what must happen to accomplish the plan of God. And so he said, he must suffer many things. And again, he was trying to get his disciples ready. He knew it was coming. He did not want them to be surprised when it came. He did not want them thinking, what kind of Messiah is this? If he's come as a Messiah to sit on the throne, why are they putting him on trial? Why are they whipping him? Why is he having to suffer the things he's having to suffer? That's not the picture that we have of the Messiah in our mind. And so he was trying to get their mind right. He was trying to get their thinking right. So he must suffer many things. He must suffer that. He must be rejected of the elders and chief priests and the scribes. He must be slain and be raised the third day. And so again, Jesus was painting a picture. He said, this is going to happen. Get it in your mind. Get it in your heart. I am not getting ready to sit on a throne. I am not getting ready to, you know, sit on the throne of David and rule the earth. And again, he knew that's what they had in their mind in looking for the Messiah. He said, no, I've come for a different purpose this time. Yeah, one day that'll happen, but not now. I've come to be rejected of men. I've come to suffer many things. I've come to die and be raised again. All of those things are a must for our salvation. All of those things had to happen in the plan of God. And Jesus, again, was telling his disciples, that's why I'm here. That's the kind of Messiah I am for this day. I'm going to go to the cross. They're going to put me to death. I'm going to lay in the grave for 3 days and three nights. Again, he had hinted at this before. Now he's being very direct with his disciples. He's being very straightforward with his disciples. He did not just want to suggest things. He wanted to come out and plainly tell them what was going to happen so that they could be ready when it happened and to know why it happened. verse 23. And he said to them all. Now, Peter answered the question, but he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So again, he's talking to his disciples. I mean, they were the only ones there at this particular point. There wasn't any crowd gathered around, just Jesus and his disciples. And so he said, now, if you're going to come after me, and he had chosen them, knowing that Judas was a traitor, but he had chosen the 11, knowing that they were going to come after him. He said, you have to deny yourself. You have to deny yourself. Your being, your desires, your will is not important. You have to deny all that. You have to die to self. You have to die to self. Take up his cross daily. Now, the disciples knew what Jesus was talking about when he said take up his cross. Crucifixion was a common practice in that day. They made the accused, the one that was being crucified, carry their cross as they did Christ to the place that they were going to be executed. And so what Jesus was saying is, if you're going to come after me, if you're going to be my disciple, if you're going to carry the message, my message into the world, if you're going to continue my mission into the world, then you have to die to self. And you have to be to your desires, and you have to be willing to die, physically die, putting your life on the line every day. Daily. Daily. If you're going to come after me. And follow me. And then in verse 24, he says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Now, that word life can mean two things. It can mean the physical life, our physical being. It can also mean spiritual life, okay, our soul. And Jesus was using the same word, talking about the two different things. For whosoever will save his life, his physical life, in other words, if you're not willing to follow me and be willing to take up the cross and to deny yourself, you may save your physical life, but you will lose your spiritual life. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, if you're willing to follow me and take up the cross and physically die daily, then you'll save your spiritual life. Then he asks the question, a rhetorical question in verse 25. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? As they were thinking about what Jesus had just said, hey, if you try to save your physical life, you're going to lose your spiritual life. If you lose your physical life for my sake, you're following me, you're taking up your cross and being willing to die, then you're going to save your spiritual life, your soul. And here's what Jesus said. So if you save your physical life and gain the whole world, and lose himself, or lose his relationship with God, or lose his spiritual life, or be cast away. Jesus said, that's a bad trade-off. You can decide you're not going to follow me. You can decide you're not going to be willing to die. But if you do that, you're going to lose your soul. You're going to lose your spiritual life. You see, when Jesus came, this verse applies to him as well. The disciples did not want him to go to the cross because they did not want him to physically die. I mean, in Matthew, when Jesus said what he said, Peter took him aside and said, oh, no, that's not going to happen to you. We are not going to let that happen to you. And you remember what Jesus said? He said, get thee behind me, Satan. You don't savor the things of God. Just savor the things of men. I have to die in order to accomplish the purpose that God sent me for. If I don't die, I've lost my purpose for being. I've lost the purpose for being here. I must die. I must suffer those things. I have to go to the cross. Otherwise, I failed to accomplish the reason that God sent me to this earth. And he said, the same thing is true of you. Unless you're willing to follow me and take up your cross and die daily, you cannot accomplish what I'm sending you into the world to do. You just can't do it. He said in the next verse, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come to his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. If you're so ashamed of me and the gospel that you're not willing to take up the cross, follow me, and die daily, then you can't accomplish the purpose that I saved you for. You can't be what I want you to be. You must die or be willing to die also to accomplish that purpose. Verse 27, but I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. A lot of people read that verse and think that Jesus was talking about what was going to happen next. What was going to happen next is he was going to take Peter, James, and John up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was going to be changed before them. They were going to see Elijah and Moses. But as I've studied this week, I don't think that's what he was talking about. Although I'll be honest with you, that's for a long time, that's what I thought he was talking about, the Transfiguration. But he said there'll be some standing here. Well, they were all standing there when he went up on the Mount Transfigurations. Others think that he was talking about the final judgment. Well, there was none of the disciples living at the final judgment, or will be that are alive today and will be at the final judgment. What most Bible scholars think that Jesus was talking about was the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. That sort of tore apart the Jewish nation. There were a couple of the disciples that were still alive at that point. John, the Apostle John, one of them, for sure. At that point, Judaism was torn apart because Jerusalem was conquered. And Christianity, it had ties to Judaism, but it when Judaism was destroyed, it sort of took off on its own. And people got to see the kingdom of God as it truly was in Christ. And so, again, a lot of Bible scholars think that when in that verse Jesus was talking about those disciples that were going to be alive when Jerusalem was destroyed, when Judaism was broken up, and the Jews were scattered around the world. But again, Jesus was getting his disciples ready. He said, I want you to understand who I am. I ask you the question, who do other people think that I am? But that's not important. What's important is who do you think I am? And unless we have in our mind who Jesus is, what his mission was when he came to die on the cross for our sins, there's no other way we can pay for our sins. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Nobody can get to God apart from what Jesus did on Calvary. And unless we get that in our mind, that's who he is. That's why he came. And as he sends us out, we have to be willing to deny ourselves. Put what we want, our desires aside. Just die. Paul said, I die daily. I just die daily. I have to, and he said, I have to do it every day. I mean, I just can't make that decision one time to die to the things of the world, to die to the things of myself. I have to do it daily. And that's what Jesus said. You have to do it daily. That's the only way you can accomplish what I'm sending you forth to accomplish. Follow me. He called his disciples, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me, take up your cross. Be willing to die daily. That's the only way that's the only way I could accomplish the purpose that I was sent for. And again, we talked a little bit about it Sunday. Over and over again in the scripture, we read Jesus saying, I didn't come to do my will. I came to do the will of the Father. I didn't come to do what I wanted on this earth. I came to do what God wanted me to do on this earth. That's my mission. And he said, that's your mission. All right, thanks for being here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.